In this gospel passage, the passage we just heard, Luke reminds us, in facts, I would say implores us, to recognize the importance of Jesus coming into the world. God breaking into human history makes all the difference in the world. God becomes one of us. God becomes made flesh. God all of a sudden understands what it is to be human, understands humanity and all its frailties. Of all the four Gospels, interestingly enough, and I think this is a part of it, Luke gives us the most detailed version of the Nativity. Luke even discusses the birth of Jesus before Jesus. He talks about Mary going to the son of, Mary going and finding John the Baptist in her womb, Mary being visited by the angel. We get the trek to Bethlehem, what happens in Bethlehem. We get the birth of Jesus and the Magi. We're still in Epiphany, talking about the Magi. A very detailed account. And it's very important, as I said, because Luke is underlining the importance of God coming to us, of God being a part of us. God wants to make the coming of Jesus an important event to the world because it is a world-changing event. And this is all crucial. Because God's purpose for us is to show us the love of God. However, in Luke, especially, I think, we are taught that the birth of Jesus is only the beginning of the gospel story. We don't get just the birth of Jesus, and we don't fast forward to the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection. There's a big middle in between, and it's important. And what that is, of course, is the teachings of Jesus as he preached, as an itinerant preacher in the area that he was in. And part of his teaching was, of course, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, the golden rule. But Jesus didn't come up with this himself. It was a part of Hebrew teaching, a part of the Hebrew Bible. It was also a part of philosophy from Philo to Homer. It was a part of Buddhist teaching as well, in one word or another. But love other people as you would have them love you. But in today's gospel, Jesus teaches us something further. Jesus teaches us a more radical interpretation of that. Jesus says, yes, of course, you must love others who love you, but you also must love your enemies. The word radical, by the way, and I do believe that is a radical teaching, comes from the Middle English word meaning forming a root. Forming a root. If you think about that, it's relating to or affecting the fundamental nature of something. So when something is radical, it is literally coming from the earth out and spreading out like a tree and forming something quite special, something quite unique, something very strong against the norm. Jesus said that we should love our neighbors and those who hate us. And I would like to explore another word for just a moment, the word hate. Hate is a very strong word. In fact, if you say, I hate someone, that's kind of the end of the conversation. There's nothing beyond that. You can't walk up to someone and say, I hate you. Okay, let's have a discussion about that. Not really. That's the end of the discussion. Hate is a very strong word to use, and a very strong feeling to have. And yet Jesus says, when someone hates you, you need to love them back. In fact, in this passage, we get a number of famous quotes from Jesus. Jesus says, if someone strikes you on the cheek, and it's usually put this way, if someone strikes you on the cheek, you turn the other one. And most people interpret that as saying, well, you just turn the other way and ignore it. That's not what Jesus is saying. We actually get the translation here in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus says, you offer your other cheek. If you get slapped on one, turn your other cheek and get slapped on that one too. And then turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. In short, Jesus is saying our reaction to others in the world should not be dependent upon their behavior. Indeed, Jesus asks us to react, in this instance, the exact opposite way. We are to do good when others do bad to us. And that's a little different, if I may say, and I don't want to get political about this, but in politics in the last while, there has been said that some people say, well, when they go low, we go high. Jesus is not even saying that. He's saying something quite different. He's saying, when they go low, we go low with them. Not to strike back, not to hurt them, not to get blow for blow. We go low because we want to lift them up. We go low because we love them and want to lift them up to the love of God. Now, all this doesn't make sense intellectually or physically. We are human beings. We are animals with instincts. And when someone hits us, the instinct is to hit back or run away, fight or flight. It's not to turn around and love. It's simply not. Our instinct is to either fight back or run away. Intellectually and physically. And those instincts are very strong. So here's Jesus' challenge to us. How do we move from the natural instinct to fight back, to go for blow, or word for word? How do we react with grace and kindness instead of inflicting more pain and wounding from the pain and the wounds that we endure from others? Jesus says, be merciful as the Father is merciful. And images are important here. Images are very important, and Jesus is putting that image out for you. Be merciful as the Father is merciful. For example, to give an example of images, it's interesting how in a dysfunctional family, and I've met a number of dysfunctional families in my teaching years and beyond, how a child or other children can live through that dysfunction and become themselves functioning children, if you want to call it that, beautiful children, children of love. Now, many don't make that journey. Many do pick up the dysfunction of their parents, and that would be a natural thing to do. But Jesus is saying, fight that natural instinct and use God and be merciful as God is merciful to you. The nature of Jesus and the nature of God is that to be merciful and loving and full of grace is the way forward. Jesus teaches us that when we react, we should both imagine God, a merciful God, and travel our journey as people who have been shown God's mercy and God's grace. I remember speaking of a teacher, I was in a meeting once with two parents who were having great difficulty with he was their son, and he had some severe learning disabilities. I remember having a meeting about that, and for reasons that I didn't know, they couldn't find any other place, but the daughter came along as well, who apparently was doing very well in school. And at one point, the father says, well, this is my good child, and this is my bad child. (sighs) It's amazing. I learned from a very wise teacher once this truism, and it is absolutely true. It takes about one positive comment to equal 20 bad comments, negative comments. That's about the ratio. And so when people are in that kind of situation, what exactly do you do? We need to realize, we need to internalize the goodness of God, to internalize the mercy of God, to internalize the love of God, to internalize the grace of God, to make it a radical change. And so we come back to the Nativity, and this being the seventh Sunday of Epiphany. The three wise men came to see the Holy One and were transformed themselves. The teaching of Jesus to love our enemies is much more than a recommendation to try to be nice at all times and just grit our teeth in times of anger and stress. Jesus wants us, in a sense, to live contrary to our human instincts, to our human nature, to live out a new way, a way that was given to us in the manger in Bethlehem. Being a Christian, then, is more than a faith that follows a credo or a set of beliefs. Rather, this faith is a way of life, a way of life that changes us and grows us in different ways. Violence calls us to peace. Vengeance calls us to forgiveness. Cruelty calls us to grace. And hatred calls us to love. And homelessness calls us to something like the long, long night of hope. It is a challenge, to be sure, but God is with us. God is with us in the miracle of the manger and gives us strength. God is with us in the miracle of the manger and gives us love. God is with us in the miracle of the manger and gives us hope. God is with us in the miracle of the manger and will be with us forever and ever and always. Amen.